ഗോവിന്ദദേശികം ഉപാസ്യ ശിരായ ഭക്ത്യാം തസ്മിൻ സ്ഥിതേ നിജമാഹിങ്നി വിദേഹമുക്ത്യാം അദ്വൈത്യഭാഷ്യം ഉപകൽപ ദിശോ വിജീത്യാം കാഞ്ചീപുരേ സ്ഥിതം അവാപ സാ ശങ്കരായ ഋതിസ്മൃതി പുരാണാനാം ആലയം കരുണാലയം നമാമി ഭഗവത്പാദ ശങ്കരം ലോകശങ്കരം അപാര കരുണാസിന്ധും ജ്ഞാനതം ശാന്തരൂപിണം ശ്രീചന്ദ്രശേഖര ഗുരും പ്രണമാമി മുദമ്യഹം സദാശിവസമാരംഭാം ശങ്കരാചാര്യമസ്തിമാം അസ്മത് ആചാര്യപര്യന്താം വന്ദേ ഗുരുപരംപര. ഇറ്റ് ഗീവ്സ് മീ ഗ്രേറ്റ് പ്ലെഷർ ടു വെൽക്കം യു ആൾ ടു ദിസ് പ്ലസന്റ് ആൻഡ് സോളം ഫംഗ്ഷൻ ഓർഗനൈസ്ഡ് ദിസ് മോർണിംഗ് അറ്റ് ദ കമൻസ്മെന്റ് ഓഫ് ദ ന്യൂ ഇയർ ഓഫ് 2014 ടു റിമെമ്പർ ഭാരത് രത്ന ഡോക്ടർ എം എസ് സുബ്ബലക്ഷ്മി ആൻഡ് ടു അൺവീൽ പെർമനന്റ് മെമ്മോറിയൽസ് ഇൻ ഹർ ഓണർ ആൻഡ് ഗ്രേസ്. On an occasion like this, when we remember M.S. Subbalakshmi, it is but natural that we remember all that she left behind as legacy to this great world of ours. We are grateful to her for all that she had done during her living times, for all that music that she had endowed onto this world that remains permanently, lives amongst us despite the fact that Subbalakshmi is no more with us. This Vidyalaya of ours is a manifestation of that desire and wish of the Mahaswami of Kanchi expressed during his living times. The Mahaswami was apprehensive and he wondered whether at all, given the background of the education that we have and the social order that is prevailing in the country, whether a future generation would ever imbibe the culture of this blessed land of ours. And the Swamiji genuinely felt that if bhakti were to be instilled into the minds of children at a very young age, aindil kuduthathu 50il velaiyadonu kappo, if it is given at that young age, it will sprout and germinate in the later part of their life and they shall blossom as they move along in life. Therefore, at a time when we have control over the children, the Mahaswami felt that this devotion should be instilled into the children. The Mahaswami also observed on various occasions that the type of education that was being given during his time is no different from the type of education that we are receiving today or even during ancient times, but it is only the methodology, the delivery, the pedagogy which has undergone a change, but a change for the worse, he said. And the simile that he used to adopt to speak about it was, he said, it's like the medicine that is being administered is the same. But if the contraindications and the negative governance of using the medicine are not observed, the same medicine will become a poison. And that's exactly what had happened to the system of education that we have today. The Mahaswami sincerely believed that the Gurukula system of education is the panacea for all the ills that afflict the student community. But I think he was candid and professional and pragmatic enough to confess that given the type of education, the so-called modern education, that Lord Macaulay had given unto us from 1835 and which has seeped deep into the psyche of this nation for the last 180 years, it would be well-nigh impossible and impractical in the name of reformation of education system to replace this modern education system with the ancient education system. But the Swamiji was equally firm in his belief that posterity should have knowledge about the system of education. It should be aware of the fact as to how it promoted a holistic growth among the children who were studying in the Gurukula system of education. And he felt like the curios and the artificers and the archives were kept in the museum, there should also be a few schools which are run on the Gurukula type of education and a few children enrolled therein. And when the children stay with the masters in the same campus, it promotes Guru Bhakti. And the Swamiji sincerely believed that this Guru Bhakti is the solvent for all the ills that plague the student community. And that, unfortunately, we could not give expression to during the living times of the sage of Kanchi. It was ordained by Goddess Kamakshi that it should be done after his living times. But then all that he said lives beyond his time, it endures beyond his times. I've always said that the Mahaswami of Kanchi is more relevant today than he was during his living times. He will be more relevant centuries later, and therefore he lives amongst the Vedas, he lives amongst the students who practice it, lives amongst people who have the sadachara, who have the anushtana and the anugraha. We had a function very similar to this in Mumbai when we unveiled a statue of M.S. Subbalakshmi at a portrait gallery inaugurated by Sri M.K. Narayanan, the governor of West Bengal. At that time it was felt that a similar memorial should be erected for Amma in her Karma Bhumi. And what better place to have it than at a place that bears the name of our Guru, where we believe with the chanting of the Vedas and the resonation of this culture and the culture of this land, the Mahaswami lives. So it is in that place we thought that Amma should also come and reside. Now this is a unique place in the sense where the Lord himself resides. We have enough temples for the Lord over here. We have the Guru who is over here. And now a Shishya has come to be part of this campus. So this Trinity makes this place indeed a holy place. This blessed land of ours has a living history that spans several millennia. Westerners have always wondered as what is it that has kept this nation united despite the diversity of its culture, despite the several languages that we speak, the expanse of the land itself. We have in this ancient land of ours 18 major languages, 1600 minor languages, 6400 castes and subcastes, 52 major tribes, 6 major ethnic groups and beliefs, 29 states, and one is about to be born under the hands of our governor soon, 7 union territories, all rolled and fused into one called as Bharat or India. Mark Twain calls it as the cradle of human civilization, the birthplace of human speech, the mother of history, the grandmother of tradition and the great grandmother of legend. If singularly there is one factor that has contributed to the unification of this land, despite the balkanization that we have seen even in small states all over the globe, including Europe, it is the culture of this land. That unifying factor has been the culture of this land, and out of that culture blossomed the education system of this land. It is these that had kept this nation united. But the ground reality today is quite different. Today you find both the education system and the culture of land are in a state of disarray and needs much to be done so that we preserve and protect this great virasat of this blessed land of ours. I have spoken enough about M.S. Subbalakshmi on various platforms, about all that has made her the person she is, the persona that she is, the greatness that has come onto her, the greatness that she had reflected and radiated and given into the world. And I don't think I should speak more about Subbalakshmi, on those aspects of Subbalakshmi. So today I thought I should speak to you on something that connects Subbalakshmi to the sage of Kanchi. And what connected her than a Shishya to the Guru, of all those experiences that she had or he had during their time of association, I thought I should share with you today so that you understand the greatness of this Mahavidushi of our times. The Sadashivams did not know the sage of Kanchi when they were married in the year 1940. A friend of Mrs. Sadashivam decided to take him to the sage of Kanchi so that he can seek his benediction and blessings for a long bout of typhoid which had affected Amma and was not getting cured easily. And despite his best efforts, he was not able to find and strike an alliance for Radha, despite the horoscope matching that he was doing for a very long time. And therefore, they came to the sage of Kanchi. The benediction that the sage of Kanchi gave was wholesome. It was very expressive the way he gave it across. And it bore fruits. And then commenced a long journey of association between the couple and the sage of Kanchi as the guru and his shishya. A traditionalist that he was, their marriage did not sit on the shoulders. It took a lot of persuasion of Sadashivam, his extreme bhakti and devotion to the sage of Kanchi that melted that little opposition, that resistance that the sage had. And once he said, "You are lifelong bhaktas of mine, And that certificate was more than adequate for the Sadashivams. And in later years he paid enough encomiums to Subbalakshmi and gave that highest Vedic injunction when he said that you are a Tulasi in the Vrindavanam. This is more than anything that any person can aspire in life, coming as it were, that gospel of truth that came from the mouth of the sage of Kanchi. Subbalakshmi herself was deeply religious and devoted. The Sadashivams will not do anything in life except to go to the sage of Kanchi, take his blessings and take his guidance before they embark upon any project. In Kalki Gardens, where she stayed for a very long time, for long hours she used to sit before the life-size portrait of the sage of Kanchi, silent in meditation, the lips chanting the glory of the sage, to connect herself to the sage and take his grace, even when she was not physically before him. In the year 1965, the invitation came from the Ministry of External Affairs that Amma should come and sing in the United Nations. On the United Nations Day, on the 23rd of October, when the UN Day is celebrated every year. The opportunity that came, the Sadashivas way, excited them. They were indeed very happy. They started discussing, and as part of the consultations between themselves, they felt that this should not be an ordinary concert which brings in only the greatness, the diaspora of Indian culture. It should go much beyond that. It should expand to the world, and therefore they said that we should have an English note that should be sung. And more than that, we need the benediction for the world. We need universal harmony. We need that peace. And where else to go than to the hermitage of the sage at Kanchipuram that brought the couple to the sage of Kanchi. And then they requested him that this opportunity that they come their way, they wanted him to pen a song for the world harmony. The Cold War at its peak during that time. Internal strifes and turbulences were rampant all across the globe. It was a period of such disturbances in the 1965s that some people even felt that the world is coming onto the brink. And the Mahaswami of Kanchi, even from a very young age, was abreast of world happenings. Every luminary who used to come to Kanchipuram, he would start long discussions with them to understand the world happenings and apprise for himself the global events that cast an influence on humankind and their ways of living. And therefore, when the Sadashivams came and pleaded with him that he should compose for them something related to peace and harmony, the Swamiji saw a great opportunity in broadcasting to the world the greatness of the Indian culture, the philosophy of Hinduism, that concept that brings out the unification of mankind, the oneness of creation, and more importantly, universal peace and harmony, which are part of the substratum of the Hindu philosophy. And then he composed this song and gave it across to her and advised her that this can be at the end of the concert when you can appeal for world harmony and peace. He drew extensively from Brihadaranyaka Upanishads. That is why when you see the composition, he comes to the words of Damyata Dattam Dayatam. It is first the restraint which is fundamental for human beings. Otherwise the natural animal instinct in all of us comes out. Therefore the Upanishad says that first build a restraint in you. And then comes the compassion. And if you don't have compassion for beings, including all forms of beings, and then dhanam, giving up what you have so that others get it. These are the core of this religion of ours. These are the fundamentals of this religion, which formed part of Maitri Bhajata. So whenever you hear that song, don't for a moment reduce it to one more composition, something which is being written and given. It's gospel truth contained in the Upanishads that the sage of Kanchi gave it generously in his composition. The Upanishad says, I am Nijah Paro Vedi, Gananam Lagu Chetasam, Udara Charitanam Tu, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. This is mind that is yours, is essentially a thought that comes into a very narrow mind. But to the broad-minded that this world comprises of, the entire universe is one family. This globalization that you and I talk about today, which is a product of the 20th century, the westernization of a single global village several millennia before, the Vedas and the Upanishads spoke about oneness of human creation, and that the Mahaswami built into Maitreyim Bhajata and gave it to her. The year 1965, as I said, was full of turbulences, and unfortunately this country was also visited by the Indo-Pak War, and therefore the Sadashivams decided not to accept the invitation and go to New York and then to the United Nations headquarters for this program. Therefore, the request that came to me was declined because of these reasons. When it was again renewed in the year 1966, with both hands they jumped and took it and said that they will come. It was decided that it shall be a 7-week tour, which shall comprise of 10 major cities where they will go, 10 concerts that they will have, which will also include that benediction concert in the United Nations on the UN Day on 23rd of October 1966. Rajaji penned a special number in English and gave it to Sadashivam that this should be part of the universal address through music that Amma would convey to the world. And of course, Maitreyim Bhajata was also part of the package that Amma carried with her. She was accompanied by Radha Vishwanathan on that tour. B.V. Subramanyam was there on the violin for him. Rajendran was there. Bhikkhu Vinayakaram was there. And T.K. Murthy on the ghatam was there. And this was the group that went as cultural ambassadors of this country to the headquarters of the World's Federation of Countries to bring home the gospel of the Indianness that you and I cherish and value. On the 21st, contrary to the general belief that Maitreyim Bhajata was sung at the UN for the first time, it was not sung at the UN for the first time. On the 21st of October, 2 days before, in the Carnegie Hall, Amma came for her concert. She was introduced as the first lady of Carnatic music. And there she concluded with Maitreyim Bhajata. Much before ushering into the world body, she gave it to those elite who were present in the Carnegie Hall what this harmony was all about. On the 23rd of October, the day did not start well for M.S. Subbulakshmi. She started with a bad throat and was not very comfortable, running a very light temperature. And it was generally felt that this concert in the UN will not go through. Sharada Prasad, the then press advisor to the Prime Minister of India, who had also accompanied them, was greatly disturbed. He also felt that the concert would not take place. But he saw Amma in a contemplative, meditative mood, sitting before a small photo of the sage of Kanchi that she had carried along with her, praying to him that this benediction should be fulfilled. By evening, things bettered for her, her throat had cleared, and then she came for the concert. Draped as she were in that Kanchipuram sari, that brilliant Kanchipuram sari that she is known for, of the jasmine and the roses that were brought in from New York for her, so that she will adorn her head with all that which is part of the Indian culture that we have. And those brilliant and dazzling diamonds that were an hallmark of these metals that are provided in this country. As she walked into the hall, the applause did not die for a very long time. It became difficult for Narasimhan to get the applause subside so that the proceedings can start. It was a great day in the annals of Indian culture, art and tradition. Yuthand, the Secretary General, at the end of the concert said, "It was a fantastic musical experience that he never had." The music critic of New York Times, that fellow was a very hard nut to crack, I am told, never has complimented anyone on the earth, was a wholesome praise for the concert that was delivered on that day. He showered encomiums on M.S. Subbulakshmi and said that he shall cherish this concert of Subbulakshmi, not knowing the language, all through his life. And that was the greatness of the lady as she gave Maitreyim Bhajata. I have said that the Subbulakshmis have a great connect to my city from where I hail. Even Maitreyim Bhajata had a connect. The music for this was composed by Mr. Vasant Desai. And Mama gave Vasant Desai a professional fee of 501 rupees. Mama gave a check, he did not give a draft. And he framed that check and kept as a memento for himself. All through his lifetime, he felt blessed by the couple for having given him this assignment. All through her life, she gave to the world all that she had. Like the Brahadaranyaka Upanishad, she kept nothing to herself. The only companion that remained with her was her music. At the confluence of life and death, Subbalakshmi, who had only one possession, namely the music, that also she gave to the world as a legacy that this world shall inherit, so that her music shall live much beyond our times. As the Antima Yatra began, all that was there with Subbalakshmi was the shawl that the Mahaswami of Kanchi gave her, in which she was draped and taken for the final funeral pyre. Both in life and in death, she was connected to the sage of Kanchi. It is this divine connect between Amma and the sage of Kanchi that we are celebrating today. She was far more than the music that she was. She was far more than what she gave unto the world. She was far more truer than the surroundings that she inherited. She will live forever in the hearts and minds of people all over the globe. This monument that we have created for her, I have a conviction and belief that countless number of students who pass out of the portals of this institution shall be able to draw inspiration from the life and times of M.S. Subbalakshmi as they shape their own destinies. I have equal conviction to believe at a time when the world is dominated by plaque for pounds and put into a simple local language, donations for granite and marble plaques to be put anywhere and everywhere, this function is a genuine appreciation of the contribution of this great lady, this Nightingale of India, to Indian culture, art and tradition. May the Jaganmata Kamakoti Kamakshi shed her grace on all that she has left behind, so that it will never perish. Generations after generations will live through the greatness that she has given. We are indeed beholden to the governor of Andhra Pradesh, Sri E.S. Narasimhan, who has come all the way to be with us, to share with us the experience that he had with Indian culture, art, and more particularly M.S. Subbalakshmi. May she shed her grace on him. May the Jagan Mata and the sage of Kanchi and the present gurus give him a long life, so that the purpose of his life will be fulfilled and the mission that he has initiated for himself in the discharge of the duties of this country will be done. May the good Lord also shed his grace on all of us, so that we can draw a leaf from the life of nobility of persons like M.S. Subbalakshmi and make our own life sublime. Thank you and God bless us all.